First, while we get ready to shed our winter coats and maybe put them back on a few more times, many birds that have migrated south for the winter are making their journey back to Wisconsin. Some of those birds travel something on the order of 600 miles crossing the Gulf of Mexico during migration times. Tom Schultz joins us. He's a former president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology. He's been birding here in Wisconsin for over 45 years and recently returned from leading a Wisconsin Society of Ornithology birding tour in Costa Rica. He lives in Green Lake and is a professional bird artist and illustrator. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, you're welcome, Rob. I'm happy to be here.
And Tom, I understand you've watched birds and painted birds all over the world. How does Wisconsin stack up when it comes to seeing birds out in the wild?
Well, I would certainly say that some of the tropical countries have us, probably have a lead on us in some of the colorful and exotic forms, but we stand up pretty well here in the northern part of the U.S.
And to talk about the spring migration season, when does it start and when does it really wind down?
Well, I suppose technically it really starts around the end of January or certainly through the month of February, and it continues to accelerate in fits and starts, and then I would say it, depending on where you are in the state, it varies somewhat, but generally the peak is somewhere around the middle part of May, sometimes late May if you're further north in Wisconsin.
I want to give a listen to a bird I think I've seen. Correct me if I'm jumping the gun here. Here's a listen to the sandhill crane. And I do love seeing and hearing these guys. They are already making their way back in. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. Many sandhill cranes have been reported since about the middle of February, and their numbers are continuing to increase day by day. What you played there is actually a unison call where you have both a male and female sandhills calling together in kind of a syncopated fashion.
And you've been watching birds in Wisconsin for a long time. Can you talk about the numbers of sandhill cranes in the state? They've really bounced back over the, last 30, 40 years, right?
That's really true. When, I would say probably in the 1940s, there were very few sandhill cranes present in Wisconsin, but the numbers continue to increase. And right now, they're pretty much... They can pretty much be found statewide. They've been a true success story in recovery.
And before we move on from the crane family, I know there's an ongoing effort with the whooping crane to get that population up and migrating again. Is it likely that we're going to get a glimpse of one unless we actually actively try to do it?
Well, it's entirely possible. It all depends where you live in the state. There's certain parts of the state where they've been... where there have been reintroduction programs actively taking place. And if you live in that central part of the state, your chances might be pretty good. But if you live, say, in the western or far northern part of the state, perhaps in the east, your chances are probably much smaller.
Yeah, where are good places to go to check out, getting back to the sandhills? Where are good places to go for a day of sandhill watching?
Well, anywhere in the central wetlands. I live in Green Lake County, and the White River Marsh State Wildlife Area is fairly close by. And that's an excellent place to see sandhills, both in migration and during the breeding season. But there are lots of other counties in this area that have many, many cranes, all the way up to the northwestern part of the state where Crex Meadows is located. That would be Burnett County, but Columbia County, Winnebago County, Dodge Counties, Marquette, Juneau, and Adams Counties. Those are all excellent places for cranes.
We're talking to Tom Schultz, former president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, longtime bird watcher and painter and photographer here in the state, looking at the spring migration season. We heard from Chris on Facebook, who says cranes have returned to her cabin, and Pam on Facebook says she's seen cranes robins and juncos. She says she loves stepping outside in the morning and hearing the spring bird ruckus. So the first robins of spring have been sighted, Tom?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. They've definitely started to migrate back north. Although they're, especially in the southern half of the state, there are some robins that spend the entire winter feeding on berry crops. But for the most part, they start heading back north in the beginning part of March, and that continues to peak through April.
Who are some of the other early arrivals along with the sandhills?
Well, you'll start to see some groups or perhaps larger flocks of blackbirds starting to arrive. The red-winged blackbird is probably the most prevalent among them. But you'll also get common grackles and then a few other species mixed in, like cowbirds. And then some rusty blackbirds also, later on joined by Brewer's blackbirds. But song sparrows are starting to show up. A bird called killdeer, which is a type of shorebird, is showing up. They're found in many agricultural fields throughout the state. And then it won't be long when people may be seeing or hearing things like American woodcock and Wilson snipe also.
You mentioned red-winged blackbirds. Our team has pulled together some bird audio. Let's give a listen to the red-winged blackbird. Just hearing that makes me think of spring. When is the season, Tom, when the red-winged blackbirds get really ornery about their nests and will dive bomb us if we get too close?
Well, it's typically during the period when they have active nests going. They have eggs, or especially when they have young birds in the nest, or birds that have recently fledged. That's the time when they're most aggressive. And like you said, sometimes they will actively dive bomb if you get too close to their nest or babies.
And I wanted to ask you before we get back to some of the birds, Tom, you earlier in your career, I understand, got into painting birds. That wasn't your original plan. You're going to do water creatures, but talk about how you got into painting the birds of Wisconsin.
Well, it's kind of a long story, but it really started, my bird art career started when I was in college. I was at the UW-Madison, and I was really becoming actively interested in birds. I always liked art when I was a kid, but I never thought of it as a serious career. But during my college years, I started to do some drawing and painting of birds. And then when I graduated, I decided to continue with that effort. My big break occurred when I got my first painting accepted into the Birds and Art Show up in Wausau, Wisconsin, the annual Birds and Art Exhibition. And it just so happened that the same year the National Geographic Society was looking for artists to illustrate their new field guide. This was in 1981, and I got a call from them, and I started work on that, and I've been working for them on and off ever since. We just finished work on the 7th edition of that same field guide to the birds of North America.
And if we get that guide, what are some of your contributions in there?
Well, when I first started, it was pretty much one group. That was the gulls and terns and jaegers. But over the years, each time they do a new edition, I've been asked to do different groups. And so now I have some of my illustrations in pretty much every group, from sparrows to warblers to rails, even a few ducks and cranes and shorebirds.
You mentioned jaegers. Is it too early for them to be showing up? From past bird discussions, I'm a fan of the parasitic jaeger. I think it's a little early for those, right?
Yeah, it would be a little bit early. They're really not as strong, at least not as frequently observed in the landscape in the springtime as they are in the fall. Fall tends to be the peak of migration. We hold an annual field trip up near Superior on Wisconsin Point, and we see jaegers, multiple jaegers every single day when we're up there. But in the springtime, it's much more difficult.
Tom Schultz is with us, former president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology. He's talking with us about birds and the spring migration season, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about observing the birds around you, where to go to watch for them? Have you spotted some interesting birds as some of the recent re-arrivals lately in the spring migration season? Are you wondering when to expect a particular bird, and do you plan bird-watching trips around the state this time of year? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Tom Schultz. He's a former president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, been birding in Wisconsin for over 45 years, and a painter and artist of birds as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you want to know about the birds in your part of the state, maybe about drawing them to your yard or where to go out and see them in nature? What have you seen in your neck of the woods lately? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to your calls now. Harold is with us in Manitowoc. Harold, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing? Great program today.
Thanks. What did you want to bring up, Harold?
I would like to see a painted bunting, and I would like your guests to maybe give me a shot at times and places. I've traveled extensively in central Wisconsin, Washera County. I've seen a lot of birds there, and I'd just like to know what he has to say about that.
Well, Harold, I hate to give you disappointing news, but the painted bunting is a very difficult bird to find in Wisconsin. They occasionally show up from time to time, but they're often just one-day wonders, as they're called. They show up one day and they're gone the next. If you have your heart set on seeing painted buntings, I would probably head down to some of the southern states, Florida, Texas, and so forth. But I've only seen one in Wisconsin, and I happen to know that the person who leads the list, the bird list in Wisconsin over the years, he has never seen a painted bunting in Wisconsin. So it's a difficult bird to find here.
Harold, long odds there. I wouldn't put a lot of money on that one. But maybe a trip down south. Thanks for the call, Harold. We'll go next to Becky in Nisida. Becky, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I've already seen a group of like four or five bluebirds flying through. So that's kind of been fun.
All right. Becky, thanks. And we have the sound of an eastern bluebird. Here's a listen. All right, and I gather that's a favorite of a lot of birders. Tom, talk about the bluebirds.
Well, bluebirds are starting to arrive, especially in the southern half of the state. And they've become much more numerous in the last 20 years than they formerly were, in large part, I think, because people are putting out nest boxes specifically for them. They're actually a member of the thrush family, so they're related to robins. But they're a smaller species, and I guess many would say much more colorful. They are nice to have around, and they're not particularly shy. Sometimes people feed them mealworms and get them to come in fairly close for mealworm feeding. So it's fun to see them. I have some bluebird feeders here, and they've been actively checking out the boxes the last couple of weeks.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Elizabeth with us in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been going to a class called Breakfast with the Birds. It's run by Eric Volden. He's a master naturalist at Bethel Horizons in Dodgeville. And it's been really fun. It started in January and goes to May, and it's been really fun learning from him. We have breakfast, and we watch the birds inside. He's got a whole viewing area, and he teaches us about all the different kinds of birds that start arriving at different times in the spring, and he also keeps track of when their arrivals happen. So it's just been a really great great opportunity on Saturday morning.
Elizabeth,
very relaxing.
Thanks a lot for calling, Elizabeth. And that's a great idea, Tom, for people who are, you know, like me. I can pick out, you know, a handful of different birds. Other ones kind of get lost in the shuffle for me. Tom, can you talk about taking birding classes or tours around the state?
Yeah, it's definitely a great idea to go on field trips or take classes. And there are various groups around the state of Wisconsin that you can connect up with. There are lots of local clubs. If people go on the WSO website, which is wsobirds.org, there's actually a list you can find there of the different bird clubs around the state. And if you connect with them, you might be able to get some information from the members about where classes might be held or local field trips. That's one of my jobs, fun jobs really, is to lead field trips for the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology. I've been doing it for over 30 years now, and we have field trips around the state, different locations, and that information can be found on the WSO website.
Thanks a lot for that call. We are talking to Tom Schultz about a spring bird migration season. He's former president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, still, as he says, leading birding tours around the site. We heard from Ed in Algoma, Tom. Ed wants to know why he's seeing so many brown pelicans. Are we seeing a lot of brown pelicans? Is that a species or just a descriptor? I don't know. Tom?
I'm guessing he's talking about the white pelican, American white pelican. The brown pelican is quite a rare species in Wisconsin. There are only a few records, but the white pelicans definitely have become more numerous in the last 20-plus years, and now they can be seen in pretty much any corner of the state. And when they come through in the spring during the migration period, sometimes you can see flocks of hundreds of them.
I want to give a listen to, this one was recommended to me, this call, a Sora Rail. Here's what it sounds like. That's a cool sound, and our executive producer, Judith Sears-Poisson, tells me that's a bird more often heard than seen. Can you tell us about the Sora Rail, Tom?
Yeah, that's true for most of the rails. They're inhabitants of marshlands, cattail marshes, and sometimes sedge meadows, and they can be very difficult to observe because they're often down in the dense vegetation, but they do have these distinctive calls that they give. I love the call of the Sora. The extended call is often called a whinny, and it does sound a little bit like the whinny of a horse. You can, with some patience, get to see them, especially after midsummer when the young ones are out of the nest and starting to wander around, and you'll see them starting to show up on the open edges of the marsh.
Let's go to another caller now. Diane is with us in Iron County. Diane, hi.
Hi. Just the weirdest thing this winter. I live near Lake of the Falls County Park, and there's a waterfall, and there's been a male duck, mallard male duck, that made it all winter living in right below the falls. It would get really cold and almost nowhere for him to go, but he's still there, and he's made it the entire winter.
Diane, thanks for the call. So do we sometimes see ducks and other waterfowl just stick around for the whole winter?
Yes, if they can find open water and presumably find enough food, you know, to sustain them, keep their energy up through the winter, they'll stay, especially mallards. You'll see them, you know, in some of the local parks where there may be aerators. And but again, the big key would be whether they can find food. And some of these places, they get fed by people that are, they're well-meaning people, and they like to see the birds come in close. But mallards definitely are a fairly common resident of the winter.
And that reminds me, my wife and I were out walking and saw on a little bit of open water in the lake, really small waterfowl, too small to be ducks. We're not good birders. We don't know what they were. Any idea of what a smaller waterfowl might be?
What time of the year was that, Rob?
This is like 2-3 weeks ago, I'm going to say.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a little early for some of the teal to be returning, but those are the smaller. There's a blue-winged teal and a green-winged teal. They're both fairly common ducks, but they typically don't arrive in bigger numbers until sometime in April. But it's possible that some could be showing up as well. Mallards are among the larger groups of the duck family, and there may be others like hooded mergansers that are smaller than mallards and some of the other diving ducks, but it all depends where you are, I guess, and how deep the water is. Some of the diving ducks don't especially like shallow water, but there are other birds that are considered ducks or thought of as ducks, like the American coot, and they're on a small range of the size of a duck, and they're not really members of the duck family, but they can be confused with them because they float like ducks.
I think it was probably an American coot. I think we have our winner there. Tom, real briefly, you just did this Costa Rica birding tour. What is your next tour coming up?
Well, we actually have a field trip coming up on Saturday morning, and this is primarily taking place in Columbia County. We get into Dane County somewhat. We meet at Goose Pond Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, and it'll last till roughly around noon.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome, Rob. Always happy to talk about birds.
We've been talking about birds, especially spring migratory birds. Tom Schultz was with us, former president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology. You can still share your sightings, what is in your backyard. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.